Hello, my name is Tucker Johnson, and I am your host today on NIMSY Live, where we talk about the latest and greatest in translation, localization, internationalization, culturalization, and all that fun stuff global companies need to delight their international customers. On this program, we invite guests who like to have fun and have some value to add for our audience of globalization professionals. I'm always eager to provide a platform to those with a good story or a good data set, so let us know if there are any topics you'd like covered or guests we should reach out to for future episodes. If you haven't already done so, make sure that you are subscribed to NIMSY Insights. We are coming to you live today on LinkedIn Live. We are not coming to you live on X, Facebook, Twitter, same thing, YouTube, all of those other places because the streaming software decided not to work, but we're here on LinkedIn Live, and hopefully we'll be able to upload the video to our YouTube channel where, of course, all of our past episodes are archived. So that's a great place to go check those out. If you haven't already been over to the NIMSY Insights YouTube channel, check it out. We've got past episodes of NIMSY Live, of course. We've got free workshops. We've got all sorts of good stuff. It's a great resource, especially if you're new to the industry and would like to dive in. Without further ado, today on NIMSY Live, we're diving into a CEO's perspective on how localization drives growth for globally minded companies and what happens when leadership from outside the industry brings a fresh, energizing lens to longstanding challenges. My guest today is Anna, CEO of Gridly and commercial leader with an impressive track record across marketing, sales, operations, and executive leadership. Before joining Gridly, Anna led Biznode through its transformation into an AI-driven company and guided it through a successful sale and merger with Dun & Bradstreet. In today's episode, we're going to be exploring what localization looks like through the eyes of a CEO, how discipline, stamina, and strategy, including lessons she first learned as a professional table tennis player, continue to shape her leadership style today. Anna shares how localization professionals embody the same intensity and balance as triathletes and why their work is essential to sustainable global growth. Anna, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's certainly nice to have you. Worth waking up early for, that's for sure. You have an impressive background, and you are not like me. You are not a longtime localization geek. You bring a fresh perspective, and I like talking to people like that because there's sometimes us localization people, we don't know what we don't know. And it's interesting to talk to people from outside the industry to see what lessons we can learn from them. So I definitely welcome that perspective.
Yeah, so I'm actually new to the industry. I've been with Gridly now for 1 year in the role as CEO. So hopefully I have learned something during this year. But within Gridly, we have so many localization experts. They are all amazing. We have a lot of knowledge within that field. So we were hoping for adding some additional perspectives, additional experiences outside from the localization industry. Could also, give some boost into the growth of Gridly. So as you said, my background is within SaaS companies. And Gridly is a SaaS product. So of course, I bring a lot of experience on how to run a SaaS business into this. I've been on the commercial side of different kind of organizations. And that is also important for Gridly, of course, to be able to take the next, level of growth into the company. So hopefully I have some good perspectives that I bring into the localization industry. And if I add that layer onto all the expertise that we already have within Gridly, I think that works pretty fine. And as I said, the business model, that is similar to other SaaS companies. Of course, but I think that sometimes when I come in, I can come in with some different perspectives, ask some questions that might not be asked by the ones that have been with the industry for 10 and 20 years. I have people like that within my company, so hopefully I can challenge a few perspectives and just give another angle on things as well. But I think this industry is amazing. I'm so happy to be in it, and I really see what a growth driver localization can be for companies today.
And I want to talk about that. I want to talk about localization as a growth driver. But before we do that, I want to lay some ground, lay some foundation, as the attorneys say. Gridly, it's not the first time I've just spoken with Gridly. I talked to Mike Soto a while back, I think back in April, And that was a very interesting conversation. Of course, Gridly is in the NIMSY Insights Language Technology Radar Report. We've got all different technologies classified, categorized, sorted over there. So if you're listening to this and you're looking for an unbiased third-party review of the different technologies available in the language services industry, make sure to check out NIMSY.com and look at the language technology radar report. So of course you guys are in there. Sorry, I just had to fit in a plug for NIMSY, but it's important. People need to know where to go for more information. But for those folks that aren't familiar with Gridly, maybe you can just explain quick elevator pitch what you guys do over there.
Yeah. So Gridly is actually, the name comes from grid. The UI within Gridly, it's like a grid. And what we do is that we can actually, within our platform, handle everything from producing content into delivering content. Where we have most customers is within the localization process. We are also combined. We come from the CMS side of things, but we have also launched TMS and CAT in the same kind of platform. So you can have, you know, the full localization experience from a technology perspective within Gridly. So it's like one single platform. Today, we have about 150 customers globally. Our biggest industry is within gaming, but we are also now growing outside of the gaming industry. And we can see a need of companies outside of gaming also reaching out to Gridly for support. And one of, when you talked to Mike Sudo, that is one of the really experts within Gridly, that's both an expert within gaming and localization as well. So
yeah, we talked a lot about gaming.
Yeah, so that's like the short version of Gridly. And I can also just mention that we are not new into the market, but we haven't been around for so many years. We are growing a lot right now, and our perspective is to have an AI first platform. So that's what we come from.
Awesome. Very cool. So there's your Gridly.com, Gridly.com, for those of you wanting more information about it. So awesome. So we know who you are. We know who Gridly is. The localization triathlon, human automation and AI. Before we go any further, hey, you picked this topic. Talk to me about this topic. What does this mean, triathlon, and why is it relevant?
Yeah, I think like this is maybe some outside in perspective on our industry, but there is a lot of things going on. Mainly, we have been challenged by AI for the last years, and that has made things a bit different, in roles and who is doing what within the localization process. So what we very clearly see is that our customers and potential customers, they have a big need for AI supported localization, so to say. Everyone wants to do it, everyone wants to master it, but it's a very difficult topic. I mean, if you look into the LLMs, you could think that it's pretty easy to work with, for instance, AI assisted translations, but the experts and everyone listening into this knows that it's not that easy. Actually, it's a pretty complex process, and AI today at least won't do the whole process and fix everything within localization. That's not the way it works.
What? That's not what I'm hearing from other people out there.
But if you ask some of my customers, they wish that was the way things worked. So yeah. I think that
think there is some wishful thinking.
Yeah,
I think it's getting better. It's getting better.
And some companies are really in the forefront. I mean, but I think that in general, a lot of companies, they are still in some experiment phase when it comes to how to handle these kind of workflows, how to use AI in their localization process, and how to get the best out of it. So from that perspective, being challenged from customers, being challenged from my team, being challenged from an outside in perspective, when you're also listening to what is going on in the world, what's going on with technology and AI, we came up with the concept of the triathlon thinking. So that is based on three pillars. It's based on AI for speed, automations for efficiency and flow, and then you need like the humans for orchestrations. So the thinking here is that you need to have all these three things in play to have a really good and professional localization process. So even though we at Gridly, we provide the platform, we are a very AI first thinking, we see that there is a really important role for humans to play in this process going forward as well. So, I mean, you the AI thing, you know, you need to have, you know, gives us the horsepower, gives us the scale. I mean, that is the future. We know that. We can have some resistance sometimes. We don't want to be replaced by the AI, right?
Some prudence, but, some caution, we, right?
Yeah.
And but, we will know. Right. It is the future, right?
Yeah, it's the future. Yeah. But I think what I can see also, you know, in the translation industry is that there is some resistance, of course. And every, I mean, a lot of people need to change the way they work. They need to maybe move into AI translation, post-editing world. And that might not be, you know, a positive thing for everyone that is within the industry. But I have a totally different perspective on that. And I think that humans gonna play a really important role in this. I think they, the ones that can become like the AI friendly linguistic orchestrator in this process will have a really, really bright future. The ones that understand the technology's role in this process, the ones that can really, you know, orchestrate the process, that can, you know, do the prompting, that can really, yeah, orchestrate the AI and the workflows and everything that's going in there on there is like a bright future within there. But at the same time, I must say that I haven't seen that many forward-leaning, if I should say, LSPs within that space. A lot of customers are asking for it, but we are still experimenting, trying it out, trying to find the different roles with technology and humans in the new world. Yeah.
Well, so many follow-up questions. where do I start? Let's start with the resistance, right? You said you see some resistance. So have I. So have all of us. That's not a controversial statement. There's been some resistance to AI in the industry. Where do you see that in resistance coming from? Of course, it's coming from linguists, right? So I don't think that's breaking any news to say some translators and linguists are resisting this. So that's not so much my question. Within the organizations themselves, where is the AI resistance coming from? Is it coming from the localization departments? Is it coming from senior management? Is it coming from InfoSec? In your experience?
Yeah. So when I talk to customers, I would say that the management and the C-levels in general, they are very AI positive because they have, you know, that is part of their strategy. They would like to make sure that they adapt to AI. That is something that they many companies need to do according to their strategy. But at the same time, they might not be the ones understanding exactly how this will happen. If we look into the gaming industry, what I can also see is that the localization process is really in the forefront when it comes to, making AI a real thing in the organization, because that is where you really have the LLM power. So I think that many localization departments are like in the forefront within the organization, because that's where you see that you can really utilize AI at an early stage, so to say.
For now. Right. No, and I absolutely agree with you on this. And it's something I've spoken about a lot. It's like localization leaders within on client side organizations, you're in the perfect area to take the leadership role in rolling out AI, because it's custom built. Well, not custom built, but it's perfect for what we do in our industry. Right. For now. Right. Because if we don't take action on that, then other teams, other leaders are going to step in and implement their own AI solutions. And then it's only a matter of time before they start looking at your job and say, I can do this myself. I don't need a localization department.
No, and I can also add on that, what I also see a lot is that it's not only within our industry, but I see it there as well, is that we are still in a phase where many companies would like to have like a tick in the box for using AI. They are not really after the efficiency or the increasing quality at this stage. They don't want, it's not necessarily about cost cutting. They could invest even more, but they want to prove that they can use AI within their organization in a successful way. And then probably
their shareholders demand.
Yeah, exactly. Right? That's exactly what it is. So for us, with the customers that we work really close with, trying to, build the future of AI within Gridly, It's not that they are asking us to, you know, for them to have lower costs. They just want to have successful projects. We as well, of course. Mm. There is a big win-win within here as well. So, but next step, next phase of this, of course, would probably be about more efficiency and increased quality discussion.
And so talking about all of these different department stakeholders, you can talk about the supply chain, the LSPs you mentioned, and of course the tech companies, the Lang tech companies like Gridley. So you've got client side localization departments, you've got all of their stakeholders at the various levels, you've got the LSPs, you've got the Lang tech companies. And then if you want to get in the nitty gritty, you can even break the supply chain down into more granular levels below the LSP. But my question to you, and just your opinion, because opinions is all we have at this point, I think, is whose responsibility is it to take AI leadership? Is implementation of AI something that comes from senior management top down on the client side? Is it something that client side localization directors should do? Is it something that the LSPs or the Lang tech companies should really be pushing? I have my opinion on it, but I'm interested in yours.
Yeah, that's probably a shared responsibility. But if I should focus on one thing here, I think that, of course, us building the technology needs to be available. So from the tech companies like mine, of course, we have a big responsibility to have the right kind of technology in place, because otherwise this process won't work. But to addition to that, I think where I am struggling, at least, is on the LSP side, I would say. And the reason for that is that we are building an AI-first platform. That means that we also have an AI-first TMS. We have an AI-first CAT. That means that those function is not working in the same way as it did like 10 or 20 years ago. We need to think about machine translation, post-editing, those kind of processes, which means that, you know, it doesn't look exactly the same. And that is a challenge with us sometimes when we work with LSPs. And we try to find the best tech-friendly LSPs out there. And if anyone has any more recommendations for me on this, I mean, bring them on, because I think that we can have really successful collaborations with companies, with LSPs, that could also help us drive the AI transformation.
So, and you mentioned, I'm an LSP guy. I work a long time on the LSP side, right? So, like earlier I said, we could even break it down further, talking about the supply chain. And just putting my LSP hat on, this sounds to me like even a supply chain management problem for the LSPs. Because LSPs can be super excited about adopting a new technology, but if the linguists, which are typically freelancers around the world, that they work with don't want to work in a new environment or don't want to work in a new way, then that can be a challenge. And you mentioned earlier that, you know, the linguist out there who can really dive in and adopt new technologies and get their hands dirty is going to have a very successful career. And we're seeing some of those out there, but I don't think the whole industry as a whole is, as far as the linguists go, are really adopting that. So to me, someone asked me this. I was at Loc World last week. I just got back yesterday from traveling, and someone asked me, if I were to advise someone new, you know, 20-year-old looking at a career in the localization industry, if I were to advise them, what should they study? What should they major in? What would I advise them? And I didn't have an answer. So maybe you have an answer. Like, should they go into, I mean, they could study a language, you know, major in German. I don't think that by itself, I don't think is going to go very far. Should they major in technology? What do you say?
Yeah. Well, I would say then, you know, highest up on my wish list are the ones that have like linguistic skill sets that can really also have a tech friendly mindset. That is like, it's like a high demand. I mean, I have a lot of my customers that are asking for this, but it's very difficult to find the right kind of people. I would like to collaborate or partner up or hire people that can understand both the linguistic side and what is happening within technology. So for me, it's super clear in my daily work that there is some white space here, and that we are, I mean, things will probably change in a few years, but I mean, we are here and now. Today, if I could bring on a talent person with both those kind of skills, that would be super interesting. But in the best world, I would like to partner up with an LSP that could really make, you know, Gridly the AI first platform through the whole process, combining AI automations and humans in one process. That is like my dream scenario. So hopefully that my answer would be to combine linguistic skills somehow with technology.
Interesting. And just really quick, acknowledging Tadashi Yoshida. I can't bring the comments up on screen. Sorry, guys. Not today. But Tadashi Yoshida says, how to orchestrate AI and localization will be dependent on human intelligence and organization leaders. We need to see bright side of technology advancement. Yes, I appreciate the positive thinking there. There's a lot of doom and gloom in this industry when we talk about change, really. It's not even just AI. It's just change. So I appreciate that positive thinking, Tadashi. Arthur Wetzel, welcome to the chat. I see you as well in there. If you guys have any questions in chat, just drop them in there. And I can't bring them up on screen, but I'll make sure that we get to those today. Okay. So where were we? Future of the industry, what people need to be learning, technology. So you mentioned Gridly. How long has Gridly been around?
It's been three years. But it started like it was a spin-off from another company. So we started to build the platform about 5 years ago. But 3 years ago, we brought on clients to the platform.
Okay, so 3 years. A company's been around for 3 years. And we are in the age of AI. Do you feel that companies, younger companies, smaller, I hate to use the word smaller because this industry is so scalable, there really is just no such thing as small, right? Small companies are one contract away from being huge, right? but younger companies in our industry, do you feel that there's any advantage to being small and young and fresh versus the behemoths? I mean, I'm looking at you, SDL. I'm looking at you, XTM. And I love you guys. Love you guys, right? But they're huge. They've been doing this forever. They have very set systems in the way that they do things. Whereas a younger company can be more flexible to build custom to AI rather than adapting a 15-year-old product to AI.
Yeah, and I see that we have, I mean, this is also why I joined Gridly in the role as CEO. I see so huge opportunities. I think that both that we are built on modern technology, that is one thing, that we haven't been around for that many years means that we have modern technology. We had AI thinking from the beginning. So, I mean, we don't have to apply AI as something, you know, into an old process or into an old structure. So we are already there. The people working within Gridly, they also know that this is our main priority. So I think that we have big advantages. What our challenge might be is that, you know, we have the biggest gaming companies in the world as our clients. So as a smaller scale-up company that is growing pretty fast, though, but still we also need to, the big enterprise customers would like to work with companies as Gridly because we are modern and AI first, and we have a really flexible platform where we can customize where needed with our clients. But I mean, working with enterprise customers is also a specific process where we are putting a lot of effort to really make sure that we can, you know, do that in the best and professional way, even though that we are at the scale-up phase. But I think that we are in a really good position from that point of view. If AI is going to be around and if AI is the thing that will like power localization process in the future, and I think we already know that, then I think we are in a very good position. I think also like the big companies that has been around for a long period of time, they have probably different skill sets. But if I should challenge, I should be a little bit worried if you have like worked in the old way for a very long period of time. We all know it's not only about localization. Any company that needs to go through that kind of transformation needs to be really bold and needs to make some really big changes.
Because I was just thinking about that the other day. Whereas, like I said, I'm an LSP guy, but I haven't worked for an LSP for a decade, right? I work with a lot of LSPs here at NIMSY through my role at NIMSY. But if I were to start my own LSP today, you know, go out there and have a startup LSP, though I would do things a lot differently if I had the opportunity to build things from the ground up, just because things are different now. Like, AI has changed everything, and it's not done changing everything yet. You say it's...
What is the main thing that you would have done differently? I'm so curious.
Less reliance on... I'm gonna get some hate for this, but less reliance on the... how do I say this? I know how to say it. Just how do I say it nicely? Less reliance on translators. Mm. Right? And... sorry, people, that I had to say that. But I think linguists have a very important role to play. Moving forward, translators are going to be out of a job. You see the difference, right?
Yeah.
Translators who just want to translate words, there's still going to be jobs for you out there. It just there wouldn't be with my company. If I'm starting a new company today, I'm looking for people, like you said, linguists who can, rather than just translate words, be linguistic advisors, help work with alongside the other two pillars that you mentioned here, automation and AI. Mm. I think that'd be the big difference there. And there's companies out there that are already doing that. That's why I'm not starting an LSP. Don't worry.
I think I'm repeating myself now, but I represent technology. So that is what I should like promote, right? And talk about. We are the enablers of the localization process. And of course we are. But I think, as I said, the people that can really adapt to this new reality, there is so many opportunities. I think you can have a great career.
I think so.
I think, you know, I mean, it's probably you will have more fun as well. I don't know. But it's like there are huge opportunities out there for humans in the loop in this process. That can also be part of, you know, really having AI at its best within localization.
Yeah. And yeah, this is why I don't get invited to like ATA conferences. but we love you translators, love you linguists. I'm just being honest here. You come from outside the industry.
Yeah.
So I'm very curious from an outsider's point of view. There's a lot of things that we do different here in our industry. What were some of the surprises to you coming in to the localization industry?
Now, first of all, it's I think what I have when I've been within other industries, I've mainly been with other SaaS companies. So what I realized moving into the industry is that I have felt the pain, the localization pain, in many different aspects of the company. It could be both, you know, running a global marketing campaign in 30 markets. That is part have been part of my job. Scaling an app into different kind of markets. It's been a pain. I think that many other industries industries that I've worked with and companies that I work with haven't been that mature in their localization process. So they have been a bit behind. So when I came into the localization world and understood how you can really work with this in a professional way, I was actually very amazed about what you can accomplish with great localization. And I think that many people see localization as, I don't know how to put it, but as a cost center. I mean, localization is a true growth engine. So I would say that I pretty much more admire the business. I admire the processes. I'm amazed about the people that are so professional in running these kind of processes and what that, you know, the benefits that you give to companies that they can really find new revenue streams. They can, you know, big, stronger customer relationships. They can have faster move to market. I mean, every company would like to have that when you scale a product. So I would say that I was more moving into and admiring all of you that have all these skill sets within how to run professional localization. So that has been my main perspective when I entered this market. And also since then, I then might have worked with companies that haven't had that professional skill sets before. And I can add just one more thing as well. Since we have a majority of our customers within the gaming industry, they are, I mean, the localization that is taking place there is also, I mean, you're selling an experience to the gamer, right? So you need to have pretty good localization in place to be able to provide that experience all around the world. So that is what I see in my daily work. And I am I admire so many people and, you know, so many games that are able to do this.
Right. And your answer simultaneously makes me happy and sad. Happy because it's like, oh, yes, you're recognizing all of the hard work that's being done and how important localization is to the end clients and indeed the end users. Sad because you didn't know that until you came into localization.
Yeah.
Which tells me, and I'm not, I don't like sitting here and saying like, oh, those silly blah, blah, blahs, they need to understand. No, nobody needs to understand anything. It's our responsibility as an industry to showcase our value, to make sure that our value is known and understood and appreciated. And I think it's one area where our industry as a whole could do a better job.
Yeah. And I can also just add to that, that when I joined Gridly, I was trying to, explore other industries. I think I had like 30, 40 interviews with C-levels in global companies that had some kind of cloud-based product to see their localization needs. And I would say that there was like 100% hit in the need of localization, but many of them didn't understand how you can work with this in a professional way. So that is for all, like everyone working within this business. There is a huge need, and maybe it's our job to also explain, as you say, how you could really make this more professional.
Yeah, to connect those dots, right? Because everyone like begrudgingly understands that they need translation, but they don't understand necessarily the importance of it and what true localization can do for ROI, for reaching new markets.
Also how it can make your work easier instead of having like SharePoints and Excel sheets. And, you know, you don't have like, when you don't have one source of truth, I've never had like one source of truth when I've been running content for different kind of markets. I mean, that is, you know, mind blowing when you see that you can actually work with one source of truth in all your different markets. I mean, that's amazing.
And that's kind of, you know, I'm here to tell people that, because a question that a very popular research, what would you call it? Research category that we publish here at NIMSI Insights is called Lessons in Localization. Right. So we take briefings with client side localization, departments, leaders, and we publish, like, here's how Adobe manages localization. Here's how Google manages, you know, different organizations. And the reason it's so popular is because everyone thinks that their competitors are doing it better than them, right? And I'm here to tell you, everyone's still working in Excel. Yeah. I'm exaggerating, of course. I'm exaggerating. Yeah. But there's a lot of, okay, so you have a fancy automated real-time dashboard tracking status. Awesome. But there's still a lot of people with someone sitting in Argentina updating an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah.
On the status, right? So it's like, I'd say that not to like disparage organizations. I say that to encourage organizations. Like, don't worry. Like, you're doing good out there. You think you're not as mature as you are, but it's all good. So,
and I think also it's like, it's a pretty low cost to invest in a professional localization process compared with the big value that you get out of it. I think that is also something that we really need to be better within the industry to explain to global companies scaling into new markets.
Well, and it's a lower cost than it was 10 years ago, for sure, right?
Yeah.
And there's more options available on the market right now, because I think a lot of people have gotten a quote from one of the big TMS companies. It's like $150,000 per year just for the technology. Yeah. And they're like, oh, I can't afford that. Right. So they just throw up their hands. Nope. There's other options out there. You just need to talk to more people is what I would say.
Yeah. But I mean, if that's the case, then we are, as industry, we are not good enough in explaining the value that we get out of the localization, that you have, you know, faster time to market, that you open up new revenue streams, that you will have, you know, better conversion in your digital product and all those kind of things. That is probably where we need to, you know, move the conversation sometimes from, like, you know, just translating something into what the process actually brings, the high value that it brings into to a global company. So I think that is something that we could, I mean, really work on as an industry.
Right. Well, and for our part here at NIMSY, this, we do a lot of work around this, working with organizations to help them showcase their value. We're doing a workshop right now on storytelling for executives, you know, how to improve the perception of your team internally. We do a lot of data workshops on how to use data to help support those stories and all that stuff. So it's a big passion of ours as well. I'm not trying to pitch any products here. I'm just saying it is a big passion of ours as well. And I think it's kind of this imposter syndrome that we have as an industry. It's like, because we're so used to having conversations, and I'm talking about client-side localization leaders, conversations that are started by the CFO about how we can do more with less, how we can cut our budget, how we can reduce costs, how we can outsource more, right? Whereas what we should be thinking about, and I realize it's not always realistic, but what we should be thinking about is how do we have conversations that are started by us with the CFO about how we can spend more money, right? Because if you can convince your CFO to spend more money with you, then you've basically, then he's seeing value in your product. It's about perceived value, right? And it's not just perceived value. There's actual real value too. But for you, let's say tomorrow, you were back in a SaaS company and you actually were the localization director. You were in charge of localization and you had, you got into the elevator with the CFO of your company and you had 90 seconds to get to the top floor. So you had his attention for 90 seconds. What would you say?
Then I would say that, you know, localization is a growth engine. I need to talk about it as something that actually brings growth into the market, that we have faster time to market, that we being build stronger relationships, that we can really utilize AI in the localization process, that we can have CFOs like control as well, right? So that we have like control of our content, we have control in what we really... the content that we deliver out in different kind of channels. We could also talk about the importance of content nowadays, because the value of content increases. That's why it's also so important to have some kind of way of handling and organizing your content, because that's the value in many of the digital products today. So probably a combination of those, but move from, like, as I said, the cost center into talking about localization as a growth engine. I think that is the main thing here. And of course, then we also need to provide some kind of ROI. But I think that we also have a lot of customer cases on our website, and you can yes, have a look at yourself at gridly.com. And they can actually pretty good, many of them measure the efficiency that they get out of different kind of better processes for localization using Gridly in this case. But I mean, you also have your cases, but it's not that difficult to find, to measure the performance that you have when you run professional localization. So that is also something that would attract a CFO, I think.
So you say it's not that difficult to measure performance and report on performance. It's not that difficult, but you're coming with an outsider perspective. And I'm here to tell you, in our industry, we seem to make it difficult. We seem to make it more difficult than it needs to be. So you had your 90 seconds in the elevator with the CFO. What data points do you think, if you could share 2-3 data points with the C-suite, what would those data points be and how do you measure them?
Yeah, it would be really good if I could measure revenue, I think. Today, I don't think that we have any cases on that, but that would be the best thing. If I could really tell that, you know, if we invest in a more professional localization process supported by AI, it will support driving growth within this company. That would be my number one. I don't have those numbers today. But
Somebody has those numbers.
Yeah, but right? If we would add. Yeah. The second part is, I would say, with AI, we talked about it before, it's to have the check in the box. So if we can use localization, work on that workflow, invest in a platform, have a more professional, you know, way of working, then we could also have a tick in the box in the AI that localization is a really good space to explore AI. So that could also be because they also need to report somewhere, right? And tell, right, you know, their owners or the board that they are actually successful within AI. And then of course it's efficiency. And that's where we have most KPIs with our customers, that they can refer to a 10 time higher speed or this, you know, amount of efficiency that they can actually count when they start working with the platform, and when they have worked with it for a while, then can really report back that they have saved time and had a faster process. So I think revenue, tick in the box for AI, and efficiency will probably be three areas where the management would listen in to investing in localization.
What about security and risk when it comes to these? Because are you still hearing people talk about that? Because like a year ago, let's say 2 years ago, that was a big concern. Oh, we can't implement AI because the InfoSec department was shutting that down. Right. Yeah. Do you still hear about that today?
I would say that 80% of the customers that I talk to are very AI friendly, but then we have like 20%, and I can actually, if I, you know, try to describe them, it's like big American companies. Some of them are really, you know, they would like us to make sure that AI is not touching their content somehow. So that is still in play, but it has been much better nowadays. And I think also for us, you know, providing the platform, we also need to make sure that it's like, you know, from an IT security perspective, the way we work with things, that we are in control and so on. That's why we also have invested in, I mean, even though we are a scale-up company, we have invested, and we also actually have now an ISO certification in place, 22001, because we need it when we work with these big companies. So in 1 year, I would say that we have moved from many more. 1 year ago, companies were more AI skeptical than today, but there still are a few one out there that are very protective about their content. But of course, it's probably also about what kind of, I mean, are you in pharma or are you in gaming? I mean, that's also a big difference in how you need to control your content, of course.
No, that makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. And I mean, when we talk about AI, so the tech companies like you, language technology companies are looking at AI. The LSPs are looking at AI. The client side themselves are looking at AI. So have you run into any situations where, because you're bringing your solution to the table, what are clients doing on their side without the help? Is anyone building it themselves or implementing their own solutions? I've heard some cases of this. Heck, there's some clients out there that have ambitions or considering just removing the supply chain altogether, doing it all in-house, which historically in this industry has not gone well for them. Maybe it'll be different now with new technology, but I'm just wondering if you've seen any of that.
Yeah, I actually have. When it comes to Gridly, I mean, we have high demands from our customers to deliver, you know, AI functionality. And sometimes the list, you know, of requests might be longer than the time that they can, you know, wait for having it implemented. But in generally, we work it out. But there is an ask for speed and to be able to do this pretty fast, I would say. I see some, you know, companies running parts of the process with AI. If we look into AI translations, for instance, they can like, you know, they are experimenting on their own as well. But what we also see in general, I would say, when it comes to localization, is that when customers reach out to us, some of them have had their own internal tool, but it's so difficult to, I mean, you can build it up, but then you need to make sure that you are, you know, really in the forefront, that you are, you know, handling the tool in the best way. So we see more and more that companies would like to leave, that is, you know, leave their existing in-house tools and move over to a professional platform. I mean, the only thing we do at Gridly is to, you know, exploring how we can use AI in this process. That's the only thing that we focus on. A company, they have some other priorities, right, as well. So that might be, you know, that's our own only focus area. So that's where we spend all our time. And I think that we are probably the better one in like making sure that we, you know, your localization process are really in the forefront than if you have a lot of other different things that you are doing within your company. So, what I see then, just to summarize, is more moving away from local solutions into localization platforms than the other way around.
Very cool. Anna, this has been a great conversation. I'm gonna be transparent with you. I'm out of questions. Like, I got through all of my questions here. What did I forget to ask you about Gridly, about the industry, about yourself? Was there something that you were preparing to answer?
No, a tough question. No. Yeah. I think you covered it all, and I think we had a great conversation. But I just wanted to, you know, share my view on coming from the outside in perspective, sharing my view, what we see within our customers, the LSPs and the tech platforms when it comes to how we work with AI. And I think that we have, you know, covered it all. So you made a great work.
I'll try to get you to talk so I could cough.
I'm sorry about that.
Very, very good. Gridly.com. I just put a link into the chat over on LinkedIn. For those of you that want to go check out more, as Anna mentioned, there's some very interesting case studies. I love case studies. Case studies are great because it's like, here's something that actually happened. It's not about promises that we're making. It's about here's something that actually happened. So go check out Gridly's case studies. Hey, then go check out NIMSY's case studies over at NIMSY.com while you're at it. See what you can learn. Anna, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. It's a great way to start my Monday, great way to start my week, so I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes, ma'am. All right, I will take us out right now. Ladies, gentlemen, chat, if you've enjoyed this episode of NIMSY Live, then join us next time. On Wednesday, I believe, we have another episode going live. And of course, go over to YouTube and check out all of our archived NIMSY Live episodes, as well as free workshops and resources for the industry. I appreciate our guest today, Anna. I appreciate my colleagues here at NIMSY Insights doing all of the hard work so that I can have these fun conversations. And finally, I appreciate you, the audience, who are joining us live today. And I look forward to next time. Cheers.